We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 80, Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I've been writing about games for more than 10 years. I had to think about that today as I was writing my Game of the Year pick. It's insane how long I've been writing about games. But I am joined, as always, by Stephen Dutzman, who is the founder of Engage Family Gaming and the father of three. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Nicole. I want to be clear. I have been writing about games in one capacity or another for a little bit more than 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
But I have, while I will not claim to be as world famous as one Nicole Tanner, I am not inexperienced, so I have seen some things. Fun fact, what do you think my first game of the year was?
I don't even know. Like, it took so many...
7 years.
7 years ago.
7 years ago.
So, 2009, I have no idea. I was actually...
The first ever game of the year that I ever wrote about, Farmville. Now, can I tell you why? Wait. Now, I want to be clear. I gave that game of the year because for me, I think, and I have always thought this, game of the year isn't necessarily about me, and I don't even know that it's necessarily about critical stuff.
Yeah.
I think game of the year is something that makes a profound difference and says something and, like, really moves people. So typically one would expect, well, obviously, then that means Pokemon Go would be your game of the year. It was not this year. It was Overwatch. But for Overwatch, for me this year, it's about diversity, and we'll talk about that later. But but Farmville dominated the freaking universe and created a company, a business model, and it made gamers out of... There are a lot of people playing games today that are older.
Yes.
That are playing games now that wouldn't have played them if it wasn't for Farmville. Like, I really think that was a gateway game for a huge portion. I mean, a lot of the people that followed up, there are a lot of the same people that played Candy Crush.
Right. Yeah.
And those are gamers. Core gamers may disagree. Isn't that a real game, man? No. Soccer moms playing games in between, you know, whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, like, that's a game. They're gamers.
Yes.
Just like us.
Yes.
So, that's Farmville was my first ever game of the year. What was the first ever thing that you voted for game of the year in an official capacity?
I think it would have been Sims 2, maybe? I don't even remember. It would have been when I was at Game Now magazine, and that was forever ago. So, but yeah, no, your Farmville thing totally makes sense. If I had thought a little bit more about what was going on in 2009, I had just started at IGN at the end of the year there, and Facebook games kind of became my beat while I was there for a little while.
Okay.
So yeah, Farmville was very much on the radar, as were other free-to-play games. And Farmville actually... Yeah. It kind of ripped off well, they ripped off lots of people for lots of their games, Zynga did, but it ripped off a game company that had a farming game, and I don't even remember the company's name, which is terrible, or the name of their game, but I do know that, like, Farmville was not the first farming game that had that business model. They just sort of, they're the ones that got big on it. So,
well, I mean, they got big off a lot of people's games.
Yeah.
And that was their business model was, oh, you have a thing. We're going to make a thing that's kind of like your thing with our branding.
Yeah.
And then we're going to make it different enough that it's legally different. And then we're going to pour money into advertising.
Yeah.
And with free-to-play games like that, once you get to the top of the totem pole, you just stay there. It's easy to replace the bottom parts.
Yeah.
But just by nature of being in the top, you just stay there.
Yeah.
So, no, but that was... That period of time was around when that game was kind of innocent in its popularity.
Yes.
It wasn't until it got a little bit more long in the tooth where you really started to see how predatory the game was.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was because they had to become more predatory in order to keep the people playing. You know, so like changing the notifications and all the little stuff. Like, so
when I
played it, it was just legitimately, it was a game and it was good. Right. Like, I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was fun. I played it for a while religiously. And then eventually I stopped because I realized one day, like, I've spent an entire day scheduled around plants, you know, like, and then I was like, all right, never mind.
We did a girl fight panel at PAX, and we had the sort of casual versus hardcore gamer conversation, and I'm like, you can't tell me that Farmville players aren't hardcore because they will, like, get up at 2 a.m. to water their crops. So, I don't think you can get more hardcore than that.
It's absolutely true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. Yeah. That's something that people don't necessarily remember, but, like, you know. The stuff that's on a schedule, you're damn right. I mean, I would set my crops and then I would wake. If I happened to wake up, you better believe I would roll in there and switch them over. And that's insane, right? Yeah. It's insane. No real game, quote unquote, asks you to do that, but I totally was into it. I digress, but that was my first game of the year.
No, that's completely understandable.
And the fact that yours was Sims 2 totally makes sense.
Yeah.
100% makes sense. I know you love that game.
Yeah, I do not even remember, you know, maybe was it, I don't remember. I know that Sims 2 was the first preview that I ever wrote of a game was Sims 2.
Okay.
But it probably would have had to have been something else at Game Now because it hadn't been out yet. Anyhow, I don't remember. I mean, I'm friends with people on Facebook. I don't know if they would remember either, though. So I've got hard copies of the magazine somewhere because that was like before everything was online. So yeah.
Well, I mean, if you have your words written in a magazine, you kind of have to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah.
One day that'll happen for me, and I'm gonna keep it. Right. Eventually, it'll happen.
Yeah. So let's see. It's snowing here. Do you have snow, Steven?
It is?
Yeah.
No, we have rain. How weird is that? We have rain.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been snowing off and on all day. This doesn't happen. It's just weird that this is happening.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, Connecticut drops back to pass, and you can have our snow. We'll take your rain. You know what? It was gross the beginning of this week.
Oh, yeah.
Over here. Yeah. Over the weekend, it was towards the beginning of the week, but over the weekend, Saturday specifically, we got a whole bunch of snow, and it came real fast, and then it stopped, and then it started raining. And it was cold rain, so it was like gonna turn into like death.
Right.
And our plan was that I was gonna play some Final Fantasy 15 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then eventually the snow was going to stop. And when the snow stopped, I was going to go snowblow. And then we were going to go do something fun.
Right.
I don't remember what we were going to do. But we were going to go do something. And so, first off, it started raining way before I thought it would. So my Final Fantasy got interrupted, which I was not happy about. Because I was really at a jamming point. I just was loving it. And then I went to start my snowblower, and the pull start broke. So I was like, pull one, pull two, pull three. Ash, I'm in the snow. Oh, no. And that was a mess. It was frustrating. So I had to shovel everything by hand. And then it started raining real hard. So we were, like, racing to get it done. And it was just, I'm too old for that. I'm just too old for that. So it just ruined the whole day. Like, I just stayed inside. I played Overwatch. I couldn't even play Final Fantasy because it was just too intellectual for me. So I just played Overwatch. You know what? That's a pretty good day, though. You know, you get a nice workout outside. You come in, have some pierogies, and knock out Final Fantasy 15 and Overwatch in one day. That is good. Neither one of – and not for you, I know, because you hate both of those games, and that's fine.
Actually, Final Fantasy 15 is downloading on our Xbox One right now.
Wow.
So
it's going to take you about a year.
Right.
It's going to take you about a year. So are you downloading it or is Isaac downloading it?
Isaac is downloading it. He just came up and he was like, you care if I get Final Fantasy 15? I'm like, no, of course not. Like, we do that as a courtesy to each other. We're like, hey, you care if I get X game? And we're always like, yeah, sure, whatever. The only time that that has not happened was when I was talking about buying Stardew Valley on console. And then, like, I had to actually think about it.
He was like, yeah. He was like, are you sure that's a good idea? Right. Are you sure it's a good idea?
Yeah.
So, buying a game for the second time so it has a worse interface and it's buggy.
Yeah.
So now here's the question. There's plenty of room for save files. Are you going to try Final Fantasy 15?
Probably not.
After my glow, can you do me this favor?
What's that?
Play the first hour.
I don't have lots of time to play games, Steven. I don't want to waste it on something I know I'm not going to like.
It's not. No. I legitimately think you will enjoy the first hour.
Okay.
And then it'll go off the rails, and you'll be like, never mind, this is crazy. But I think that an hour is... You don't have to.
Okay.
But I think that you would actually legitimately enjoy it, or mess around on your iPad while Isaac plays the first hour. How about that? Can you at least bear witness to the first hour? Can you do that?
Yes, I can probably do that.
Bear witness.
Yeah.
Because the setup, the first hour setup is just so cool. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's so not Final Fantasy. Which is why I think you might actually like it, because it's not Final Fantasy, because I know you hate Final Fantasy, so.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't hate it. I actually played and enjoyed. I mean, I never finished any of them, but I think it was 9. Didn't 9 have sort of a cutesy kind of art style going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dude with the tail?
Yeah, yeah. That was, I played that one for a while.
Yeah.
So.
That's fine.
Yeah. So we had Solstice. That's what we celebrate here in our family. So Anna gets to open all her presents before all of her friends who get them on Christmas. She was happy. We got her all these cool bug-related items, like this big kit for going on a bug hunt and all kinds of stuff. And she's been so excited. She wants to go on a bug hunt, like, now. And I'm like, no, it's too cold, or it's raining, or it's snowing today. So.
The bugs are all asleep.
Yeah.
And the bugs are all asleep.
Yeah.
Or dead.
Right. So we still have our snails. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. We still have the snails. I don't know how many freaking baby snails we actually have, but there are a lot. And then for Solstice, my sister also sent her this ladybug land thing where you take care of ladybugs. So, so that should be cool.
That sounds awesome. Is Solstice always before Christmas?
Yes. It's the 21st.
All right. Is it literally always the 21st?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. Or I mean, like, technically that's, you know, I'm sure technically maybe it happens to be like early in the morning on the 22nd, or, you know, how scientifically specific.
Oh, whatever.
You can get with those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so that was cool. So let's jump right in here. We've been talking about games a little bit. Big news this week, huge news that really kind of shouldn't be news, but it was news, is that Tracer from Overwatch is gay. And that is cool.
Wow, that's a big shock.
Yeah.
I didn't, nobody saw that one coming. I mean, come on. But I mean, it, whatever.
Pay, yeah.
But yes. What I had to ask people, because I just assumed that it was the case.
Yeah.
And part of that could be because I just, you know, I saw so many people with their ship artwork that I just assumed that it was that must be canon if they're drawing about it.
Yeah.
Turns out that this was a legitimate thing that is very important because it actually confirmed what people were hoping. Those ships were all kind of hopes,
right,
dreams, and wishes. And this is actually confirmation, which I did not know. So I felt a little ignorant,
yeah.
But not in a backwards way. I was more like sidestepping,
right,
because I just assumed that she was gay.
Yeah.
Because everybody said she was. So I think it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and it was such a cool comic the way they didn't just send it out in a press release, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's a cool comic book. She wasn't even the only person that had some really deep and cool stuff revealed about them. Like, it really was. you know, like a little bit, like a little nugget of information about a whole bunch of characters. Hers is obviously the flashiest, and I think that that's probably going to happen with all the characters over time. But man, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And the art, I mean, the art, the fact that it, like, and I mean, I don't know, you read the comic, obviously. So, like, wasn't it neat how they, it was drawn, so it was a completely different medium.
Right.
You know, and yet it still really captured her essence the same way as her animated in the game. And this is still, which in, considering she's a character that's all about movement, I still felt like that was clearly Tracer while they, you know, she was going through her and their relationship is so cute. it was so cute. The reaction on the internet to her being gay, however, come on, guys, come on.
But
like, really, you didn't see it?
Yeah.
You didn't see it coming?
But even still, you know, it's funny when Eric wrote the story, like, it's so funny, you know, he's like, this is what happens in the thing, and he's underneath his first image, he's got, naturally, the internet is losing its mind.
Naturally, the why, guys? Come on. There's 20-some-odd characters in this game. This is what bothers me, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's 20-some-odd characters in this game,
right.
And we know there's going to be more. Is it that big of a surprise that one of them is gay?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is it that big of a surprise? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It,
I don't think maybe it's not a surprise as being like sort of the first game to like really legitimately come out and articulate, yes, this character is gay. I know there was sort of innuendo and stuff tossed around about, what's his head? Jacob from The Last Assassin's Creed. Or I just, I don't know, I heard so much about
Jacob
that
Fry.
Game. Jacob Fry, yeah. Yes. So there is some stuff banting, you know, about him, but, you know, there was nothing official that was said. So I believe this is the first major release to officially come out and say that they have a gay character.
And let's be real, she's the cover athlete.
Yes.
This is, she, you know, like, this is not, you know, a... This is not like a Final Fantasy game having, like, the 15th character that you find as a secret hidden character in a dungeon happens to be a guy who likes guys. This is literally the cover athlete is a lesbian. And, and I say athlete, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. She is the marketing behind this game.
Yeah.
And that has, and all things aside, I always assumed that she was, but... That does not make it any less brave for Blizzard to do it.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people out there. I mean, the internet is losing its mind, but we all know there's that million moms group who I'm sure is going to try and boycott Overwatch or whatever. And and as much as, like, seriously, guys, like, you were ever going to endorse a multiplayer shooter anyway.
Right.
That, you know, but still, they have to be... You know, there is a certain level of bravery in there.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, they're Blizzard, so they're virtually impervious.
Right.
But I still think it says something.
Yes.
It's so cool.
It is so cool.
It is really cool.
Like, even, I was just thinking more when I was saying, like, it's the first game to actually really do something, I guess. Technically, you could say, like, your Dragon Ages and your Mass Effects sort of did that, but I don't think there was any... straight out confirmation of the character just being gay. So I don't know. I suppose somebody could argue with me about that, but at least that's.
Well, I think there's a difference.
Yeah,
I think there's a difference between giving a character and a player giving a player agency to reflect themselves, and giving people freedom is different than making and saying, "Well, that's their choice. We let them do whatever they want," than saying, "Nope, she likes girls." She likes ladies.
Yeah.
And she shoots lasers. That's a very different, you know? Like, I think it's a different statement. Especially since, again, she's the girl.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she's, and she is front and center on all their marketing. Yep. She's right on the, love it.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah. She's like, she look like is the logo for the Overwatch League. That they just announced. It's like she is.
Oh, she's amazing.
So, yeah.
She's also incredibly powerful and way fun to play.
Cool.
I've just started learning how to play as her. She is really dumb if you're ready to play like you have ADD.
Okay. All right, let's move on here. So last week we didn't have a chance to talk about this because we recorded the podcast before it came out. But Super Mario Run has been out since we last talked. And I guess we could talk about this in the what we're playing thing, but I think this is a big enough thing that we should just talk about it now. So I assume you bought it, right, Steven?
Wait, why would you assume that? Why would you? How dare you? Of course I bought it. I bought it within minutes. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I bought it.
Yes.
And did you? Now the question is, did you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Wow, look at you. Now the question is, did you like it?
I like it.
Because I'm way more curious about your opinions than I am about my own.
Oh, I liked it just as much as I like any other traditional Mario game. I'm bad at it because I'm bad at that type of platforming. Although this one, I think, adds a little bit of a difficulty because he's always moving forward. So you sort of have to time your jumps a little differently. And that makes it even harder for me. So I like it as it's a Mario game, but, you know, I probably won't play it as much as I would any other. The little Toad rally thing is cute. Speaking of which, we're apparently not friends because I didn't have the opportunity to race against you. Wouldn't that have been the case?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, you should have seen me if we were friends, but I don't think we're Miitomo friends. And I think that's.
Yeah. Well, we need to rectify that. You're going to beat me, like, you know, very easily because I'm so bad at these. So, but yeah, I mean, I like it. It's cool. There's been, it's funny, and I sort of expected this. I think we probably both expected this, that there's some backlash from people about the fact that it costs money.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
People are so used
to it. So stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. Yeah. I went on a giant rant about that on Engage, a family gaming podcast. So if people want to hear me rant like a crazy person about how viscerally angry I am at people, my blood pressure is rising. The fact that it's getting negative ratings because it costs money is stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid.
I mean, it just because you don't want to pay for something doesn't make it bad. Right. I mean, nobody pays for music anymore because we all get it on Spotify. Does that make literally all music bad because you don't want to spend a dollar on a song?
Yeah.
You know, like that, it doesn't make sense. It speaks to the absolute impact of the race to the bottom that the App Store has created.
Yeah.
That Nintendo, one of arguably the best game developers on the planet, literally on the planet. Mm-hmm. It makes a mobile game that is not immaculate.
Yeah.
Right? Not immaculate. It's not perfect, but a plenty serviceable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fan, so I think it was great.
Yeah.
Right? But being, you know, giving it a critical eye, it's certainly not immaculate, but it is better than good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit worse than great. Mobile game, and somehow that's not worth $10. And if it's not worth $10, that's fine. Just don't play it.
Right.
Don't
complain about it.
Download the free. And this is a little bit where Nintendo shot themselves in the foot because they let everybody download the same app and they made it an in-app purchase. So they made it so that people can download it for free.
Yeah.
And then just spew Nintendo hate. My hope is they learned their lesson.
Yeah.
And that someone at Nintendo is smart enough to figure this out. They should, when they put out the Animal Crossing one, they should do Animal Crossing Lite.
Mm.
And then Animal Crossing Premium or whatever.
Yeah.
And that way, people that download it for free can just downvote the crap out of that all they want.
Yeah.
And then when they spend their $10 on the premium one, because I'm sure the premium one will be $10. That just sounds like a reasonable price point for their stuff.
Yeah.
They will only get negative reviews from the people that actually spent the money.
Yeah.
And I think that is smarter for them.
Yeah. And also,
with that
too,
said,
people on the App Store are already familiar with the whole light versus full version of things. Yeah. Like, there's lots of things, so it's not such a shocker when you're, you know, at level 3 and they're like, hey, you got to buy the whole thing now. So I think you're right. Yeah. I think that would be a good way for them to go, for sure. You know, but they're new to this space, so they're just figuring stuff out. So, yeah.
They're certainly making money, though.
Right, yes. I'm sure they are.
Doesn't matter. They're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, their stock is down, or was, but I don't think they care. They're going to get a rebound when the Switch comes out, because, come on, guys, January 12th, which is less than 2.5 weeks away, their stock is going to go up, because they're going to be releasing this. They're going to be announcing all the details for the Switch.
Wow.
Forget about it, guys. Just forget about it.
2 weeks. Oh, my gosh.
It's January 12th.
I know it's January 12th. I'm just like, where has the time gone? But then I've got to think. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, it's Christmas in a couple days. So.
Yep.
Complete
aside, at least you don't have to write about it. You're like, yay, I don't have to deal with that crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can cut this out, obviously, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, you know, I could write the other perspective for you guys. Sort of balance
you could.
Out your Nintendo fanboyish stuff.
If you would like, you are welcome to do so. However, what I don't want to do is make anyone in your household mad because I don't pay my writers.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I understand that for sure. Okay, so speaking of Nintendo and holidays, Pokemon Go's holiday update thing is live now.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I haven't even really turned it on, although I got a notification. This is the first time I think I've gotten a notification for Pokemon Go. I turned on my phone. It's like, Pokemon Go has been updated. I was like, okay, that's cool. Never had to tell me that
It did
before,
a thing.
But, yeah.
Well, I think they're trying to experiment with it. You know, to build engagement and stuff. So, I mean, they're trying. Because I'm sure they've seen the numbers drop, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're trying to make things different.
Yeah. It's also available on Apple Watch now.
Yeah.
For those 10 people that own an Apple Watch. So.
There's more than 10.
I know.
There's a lot more than 10. There might be like 12, maybe even 13.
Right. But one of the things that's happening with this update is you're going to be able to get some of the lovable, the ones that people really, really love. They're going to be out there more often. So, you know, Charmander, yep. Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and their full evolutionary lines will be found in the wild. I was just quoting the Polygon article.
Yeah.
One second, I got a cough. Sorry.
Don't die.
Yeah, I hope I'm not getting sick. Well, I guess it never fails. Like every single year for like the last 13, 14 years, I have been sick on New Year's Eve. And I'm not even kidding you. Like literally I'm sick. Like it's a thing, you know, between us now that I am sick on New Year's Eve.
That sucks. Well, I hope that you are not sick or that you get better by then.
Right.
But
yeah.
I did not get you sick.
Right. That's true. That's true.
At least I hope not, because that'd be super weird if I did. Because you're like far.
Yes. Yes. Pretty much as far as you can get across the country, except if you were going to Hawaii. But yeah, so that's Pokemon Go. Let's see what else is going on. Steam's winter sale is up now. It's going to be running until January 2nd. Some of the games that you can get for discounts are Doom, Stardew Valley, Just Cause, Street Fighter V, Tom Clancy's The Division. Those are kind of the big ones that are up there.
On Steam, right?
On Steam, yes. The Steam sale. Winter sale runs through January 2nd. Although, like, earlier today, like, the Steam just crashed. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just...
3 hours.
Yeah.
So, it was crashed.
Yeah.
I was like, jam. 3 hours of Steam dead?
Yeah.
Yeesh.
I know. Exactly. But it's up now as we're recording this, and hopefully will be up as you're listening to it. So if you want to get some games for a decent discount, you know, what did I say again? January 2nd. You got plenty of time, but, you know. And then other Steam news. They're having their first ever Steam Awards, which are gamer-picked awards. This isn't like some game industry thing, but So these words are pretty funny. And the other thing that's cool about them is that they're not just games that were released this year. Like, any game, any time was up to be nominated for this thing. So,
yep.
And they have some of the funniest categories, like the villain most in need of a hug. Or, I thought this game was cool before it won an award kind of thing. So,
yeah.
And then the Just 5 More Minutes one, which actually does not include Stardew Valley. I would have put Stardew Valley in this nominations, like even more than some of these other ones, because that's totally a Just More 5 Minutes. I mean, maybe it's more than 5 minutes. It's just more one day. Like, at least that's how I get just one more day. Just, yeah. So anyhow.
Just a little bit longer.
Yeah. So you can go and vote on those. The voting begins on December 30th at 10 a.m. And I believe it's done at New Year's. I think they're revealing all the winners New Year's Eve. So yeah.
Sweet.
So look forward to that. It's pretty cool.
If I may make some recommendations for little known games that are available for sale on Steam, I have specifically only one real recommendation, and that is Ironclad Tactics. Now, this is going to sound... Now, if I told you that a game called Ironclad Tactics was a steampunk mech battle match 3 game, would you think I was high?
Is that what it is? When you said
it is legitimately, that's what it is.
When you said Ironclad Tactics, I just thought of like battleships. Anyhow, maybe that's just me.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
It's normally $15, which is actually not a bad price for the game as it is.
Yeah.
What it is, is a steampunk mech. It's like a mecha. It's like BattleTech, only they're steampunk.
Mm.
Which, if you like the steampunk aesthetic, this game is absolutely, like, right in your wheelhouse. It's perfect with the bronze and the leather and the gear. It's super cool. And it's got a match 3 mechanic where that's how you fight your opponents. It's like a turn-based game where you have to match 3, and that's how you do damage. Really interesting, very pick-up-and-play, super casual, which I think is important. It's normally $15, which, honestly, buy it at $15, even if whatever. For the duration of the sale... it is $3.74. For real, guys, that's less than a Big Mac. And this game is really good. Also, don't sleep on that Stanley Parable.
Oh, yeah,
which is $2.99.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to laugh at a game.
Yeah.
For real, guys, it's a real meta kind of game.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really making fun of first-person games.
Yeah.
But if you, like, enjoy games... and you want to, like, laugh at them being really stupid, pay $2.99 for that. So those are some of my recommendations. I mean, there's a lot of... The Xbox sale is starting now, too.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. I'm sure PlayStation's is starting or has started already as well.
Probably coming up, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, lots of games on sale, lots of places. Let's see. What else? Marvel and Netflix were both hacked on Twitter this week, which is kind of funny.
It's so, it's just real funny. Let's be real. Yeah. It's real funny.
So it's funny. They were hacked by this company who claims to be Our Mine and said that they were just testing their security. So, and obviously if they got hacked, then their security is not so great.
Correct.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you know if this R Mine thing is actually legit? Like, they have an email in there, but I'm scared to actually enter it anywhere because I don't know.
If I'm being honest with myself.
Yeah.
I don't know that even if they were legit, I care, because if your method of testing the security is to legit hack something.
Yeah.
If that's your pitch, I don't really want to work with you.
Yeah, I can
you know?
That. Yeah.
I mean, but it's cute. Whatever. Nice little publicity stunt.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it gives Marvel and Netflix some publicity, too.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else? Roller Coaster Tycoon, the original Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2. are out on mobile right now. And can I just say, oh my God, I'm very excited. My husband and I were just talking about this, and he thought like the interface on the phone was going to be too hard to deal with because phones are so small. And I said, I want to play it on my phone anyhow. I'll play it on the iPad. So, because I can't play games on my phone because I can't see them. So, yeah, thanks old age for my failing eyesight.
Listen, I'm with you.
Yeah. Did you play these, Steven? Back in the day?
You know what? I did not play them back in the day because I was not much of a PC gamer. But now that they are available on the phones, it was one of the things that was like on my list to give a shot to over the weekend. So I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm legitimately excited, even though I have never played those, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are super, super fun. I haven't downloaded them yet, but I plan to very soon. Let's see, what else we got going on here?
So, yeah, let me, there's one that we talked about, but I think it's more, I think it's appropriate for me to bring it up. So, okay. January 29th, Square Enix has announced that they are having a celebration to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the release of Final Fantasy. So, yes, it is true, Final Fantasy released in 1987, God, am I old. And it was the fall of 1987. I think it was October. I don't remember the exact date. It's on Wikipedia somewhere. That's why that site exists. So it's the 30th anniversary. So they are... I actually had a whole episode of the EFG show a handful of weeks ago where I talked about some of the rumored leaked games. Mm. However, why don't I talk about them here? Because I think it is worthwhile for people to hear about it. So they're going to announce all the stuff that's coming out this year because they are, unlike Nintendo, actually going to celebrate anniversaries. Nintendo, and not celebrating the anniversary of Metroid this year. What the hell is wrong with you? Anyway, they didn't celebrate the anniversary of Metroid. Other companies celebrated the anniversary of Metroid more than Nintendo did. Anyway, so Final Fantasy is actually going to, like, celebrate. So not only did they just release Final Fantasy 15, as well as several pretty popular mobile games this year, the rumor has it that next year we will see the first of the multiple games that will be part of the Final Fantasy VII remake. Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's going to be made in multiple parts, so it makes sense that maybe holiday of 2017, we might see that. Mm. We already know that Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac edition, is coming out next year for PlayStation 4. I expect that we will see DLC for World of Final Fantasy, because that game has actually been quietly very popular and selling fairly well. But this is the crown jewel. One of the rumors is the Final Fantasy 13 trilogy remastered in HD, one disc, put on Xbox One and PS4. I think that could be cool. Those games brushed up in HD would look pretty cool. But the big one, if this actually occurs, I don't know what I'll do. How about this? The Final Fantasy anthology. This is what they're saying. Final Fantasy 1 through 10, or no, 1 through 9.
Okay.
All on one disc with achievements.
Wow.
English translations. And I think that's 100% feasible. I didn't think about it at first. I was like, man, this is a little crazy. And then I'm like, you know what? Square owns the rights to all these games.
Yeah.
Most of them already exist in one form or another. So really, this is just a matter of just kind of compiling it and making sure they all work together.
Yeah.
Achievement logic is not super hard. They could do that. It's not going to take a day. Obviously, it would take a team. But if they released this game along with, I mean, how many, you know, cool bonus features and extras and videos and, you know, like, they've got all these people they could interview. And, you know, concept art, and they could do all sorts of stuff to really create, like, a fan service type thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. They charge $100. I'm buying this thing day one. I don't care. I will run over a toddler to get this thing day one. Not with a car. I'm talking like I would run past them and knock them over. I would have no shame. I'd probably buy them an ice cream afterwards, to be fair. But...
Yeah.
No. Now, doesn't that sound cool, though?
Yeah.
not unfeasible.
No, no, it's definitely not. I mean, in our, we would probably end up buying that in our yeah. in our household.
The collector's edition? My God. My God, the collector's yes. edition, like $250. Alexa Ray Correa already bought one. Right? Like she literally, she's already pre-ordered it. Like, that's how, like, it's just crazy. And
yeah.
Even if the details, forget the details, right? The fact that we get a year of Square Enix celebrating Final Fantasy is important because Final Fantasy, like it or not, is a pillar of the gaming world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get all hyperbole like crazy about it because I talk about it a lot. But ignoring all my stupid fanboyness, which I accept, I'm a fanboy. I accept it. It's a pillar of the gaming world. It should be celebrated.
Yeah.
You know, some of the coolest and biggest and most important games in video game history have been Final Fantasy games. And so the fact that the company who had been kind of squandering that goodwill, I mean, think about all the junk they did with Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
And all the people that they lost, like, they put out 15 and I think that it should successfully bring some people back. And if they do a whole year of just, no, seriously, guys, we want our fans to love us again.
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing for them.
Yeah.
I just hope they execute. That's all I'm asking. Just actually execute.
Yeah. Let's see. So the Assassin's Creed movie opens this week on Wednesday, apparently.
Yeah. It came out 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And one Simone de Rochefort actually liked it. I watched a live stream of her on Polygon explaining it and everybody being like, really? And she was like, no, it was good. And I was like, are you sure? Are you sure you're not Simoning all over this?
Yeah, no. I think that she's not Simoning all over it because she did not want the movie to happen while she was still at Pixelkin. We've had discussions.
Oh, I trust her. I was just giving her crap because I think I'm obligated to do so.
Yeah. So I haven't seen it. Obviously you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in seeing it. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It's like, come on, guys. I mean, I still haven't seen Doctor Strange. It's hard for me to get to the movies, and there's this little movie called Rogue One that I kind of got to see.
Yeah. You haven't,
although I think I'm...
You haven't seen it
I haven't
it
yet.
Oh my God, Steven. No.
Nicole. It's hard for me to go to the movies.
It's hard for me to go to the movies,
too. I have three children. Yeah, but you know the guy that wrote it. You had, like, a special layer of motivation.
I did. You're right.
Also, I was waiting until I knew other adults that went to go see it so I could determine whether or not I should bring my son. Mm. Now I know. Probably not.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to go see it myself. I had a number of people say, my older son is, my younger son, I didn't even take him to see the original Star Wars, or not the original, but episode 7.
Yeah.
He watched it on Blu-ray. So, my older son is kind of sensitive, and my understanding is that the movie's a little dark at points. And
yes.
So I'm going to go see it myself alone.
Yeah.
Probably going to go see it, you know, next week after work one night. Cause I have to work. So I'm gonna go watch it myself one night, and then I'll come back and make the decision as to whether or not I'm gonna go with the big guy. But I mean, we still haven't seen Moana. I have a 4 year old. I'm like morally obligated to go see it.
Right.
Haven't seen that.
We
so
haven't seen that
movies
either.
Are tough for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I mean, we only can go see so many, and you literally know the guy that wrote it. Like, if you didn't go, he was going to be like, really, Nicole?
Right, yes.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's funny. He did this, he does this for, like, all of his movies. He gets, like, 75 people or whatever in San Francisco together to all go and see it. He did that for Book of Eli. And I went for Book of Eli, and I got invited to the thing this year. I'm like, man, I really wish I could go, except for, like, this whole, you know, living in Seattle thing. And I was talking with Isaac about it as we were waiting for the movie to start. And I just assumed that Isaac had been invited, too, but he hadn't. So, it was, yeah.
Oh, well, that made it awkward. Were you really glad when the lights went down for that one?
It was great. It was awesome. I wasn't quite, I didn't quite think about where the time frame was for this film and exactly where it fits into the, to the universe there, but I was very pleased with what goes on there. Speaking of Star Wars news, which is very, very sad, and hopefully not super sad, Carrie Fisher just had a heart attack, like, earlier
yeah,
today.
Yeah, 2016, you stop.
Yes, exactly. I haven't even looked to see if there's been any update on it, so.
Oh, God, I'm going to look right now. Yeah. Do you want me to look for you?
I was just getting ready to Google it myself.
I'll look it up right now and save you, just in case. I'll break the news to you if I have to.
No.
Because I'm sure it'll be no update.
No update. Just says that she's in critical condition.
Critical condition is okay. Modern medicine is an amazing thing.
Yes.
Critical condition, I'm feeling okay.
Yes. Yeah. Whew.
All right. When I saw the news, I was like, 2016, you don't.
Right.
You stop this crap right now. You have done some awful things this year.
Yeah.
You do not. No. Not in the middle of the resurgence. Not what, like, I mean, she waited so long. Don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
I'm writing a stern letter to 2016's parents.
Whew. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, I don't know, by the time you listen to this, that may have been resolved one way or another, unfortunately.
There is one more piece of news that I can talk about. So, so Atlus, the people that make Persona and several other games, do you know what I'm talking about?
I just saw something related to Persona on Polygon that I didn't read, but I thought, wow, Steven's probably going to freak out about that. Was I correct?
I love how you just kind of assume that you know. Well, I mean, you're right. I was very excited.
just aside really quickly, talking about assuming. So I was putting together the Game of the Year article in the Pixgin backend earlier today. And so I put in like my pick and then Eric's pick, and Eric had already sent me his text. This was before I got your text. And so I just automatically went in Steven's pick, Overwatch. I didn't even have to wait.
Well, I mean, I told you.
Yes, I guess.
But you're right. I could have changed it.
I was almost going to tell you to just go ahead in the back end and put yours there. And then I was going to write, Steven likes Overwatch, blah, 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 as the text for you to fill out. But I decided against it. Sorry.
You decided against it? All right. Yeah. No, that's fine. That would have been hilarious, actually.
Persona.
Okay, so Atlus. They are a Japanese developer that specializes in Japanese role-playing games. JRPGs, if you want to get down with the acronyms. So they are working on a new thing that is currently called Project RE Fantasy. Now, here's what's important about this. Most of what Atlus has been making have been Shin Megami Tensei and Persona, which are, for the most part, like modern fantasy games, right? The Persona series literally takes place in, like, Japan, and you're, like, high school students, and it's, you know, whatever. Shin Megami Tensei it takes place in some alternate reality. It's not fantasy. It's not sci-fi. It exists, you know, somewhere in between. But one thing that they have not added to their arsenal is a straight-up sword and sorcery fantasy game. When you hear sword and sorcery fantasy, the word, like, that should, that conjures, like, Dungeons & Dragons,
right.
Lord of the Rings, Dragon Warrior, the original, like, the first, what, like, 7 or 8 Final Fantasy games? The first 6 Final Fantasy games, right?
Yeah.
So, Atlus, they announced, this is super early in development. They've given us no gameplay footage, no real footage at all, but they have it's called Studio Zero. It's a company that is kind of was built from people that came from their other divisions. And they are making a sword and sorcery fantasy game. It is called Project RE Fantasy. Very early, probably not going to see this until 2019. I mean, but what's exciting to me about what's exciting about this to me is that Atlus has a great talent for making role-playing games. And one thing that I miss is just high fantasy RPGs, right? Like, I love Final Fantasy 15. Do not get me wrong. But, like, there's a quest in there about cup noodles, and you drive a car. And, like, when you're going on missions, your friends call you on a cell phone. They, like, literally call you on a cell phone that you swipe to hang up.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's not a fantasy game, right? Like, it's a science fiction game with a fantasy element, and that's fine. But the idea of, I just want my grand hero with a sword.
Yeah.
And his friend, the wizard. And, like, the, you know, like,
yeah.
And that sounds like I miss those archetypes as expressed through that. So I am very excited to hear that Atlas is going to point their, what I believe to be great talent at making role-playing games, at a high fantasy role-playing game. And I can't wait to fight some dragons. I want to go into a goblin cave in the first, you know, as a level two dude. And I hope it, you know, I mean, that, and the fact that we know they make really good looking games and they haven't said what platforms it's going to be on. I'm hoping that it is like a real console game, just like Persona, make it a new franchise. I would be very happy to finally be able to look forward to a sword and sorcery role-playing game that is not Dragon Quest.
might I suggest Dragon Age?
I was fine with Dragon Age.
Oh, did you play it? You said you hadn't played Mass Effect, so I figured that you had played Dragon Age.
Dragon Age lets you play as a healer.
Yes.
And that makes me very happy. I played Dragon Age 2 to completion.
Okay.
And I actually really liked Dragon Age 2.
Yeah.
And I played Inquisition. Inquisition was exhausting, was my problem.
Yeah. I didn't finish it. I started it, and there was just, I had to take too much time in between my gameplay, you know, and I just was like, what's going on here? I don't remember. Dragon Age 2 was okay. Origins was the best, in my opinion. Now, granted, I didn't finish Inquisition, but I thought Origins was a lot better than 2.
Is Origins backwards compatible on Xbox One? Let's look.
Okay.
Let's look. Why not? Yeah. Hopefully, you know, this is bad radio, but you know what? People can, you know, I listen to podcasts where people do this all the time. Let's see here. Dragon Age Origins, backwards compatible, Xbox One. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, here we go. There's an announcement. Press release on express.co.uk. Giving them some clicks. I think it might be Dragon Age 2. But let's see. We'll find out. It's taking a second to load. There's a Reddit thread in August. what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, that one's really good.
It's not working.
The characters are like way more interesting than the ones in 2, in my opinion. And I just really liked Origins. Like, even this happened in 2, was that the banter between the characters as you're sort of running around the world was hilarious, more so in Dragon Age Origins, because you've got Alistair, which was the main guy character, and then you have Morrigan, which was basically the main female character, and they were very different, and they did not like each other very much, so their banter was pretty hilarious. I would recommend Origins if you haven't played it, because I think that one was the best one. So, but anyhow.
All right. It is not backwards compatible, by the way. Neither of them are, in fact. According to IGN's list of Xbox One backwards compatibility, which is a very long list, but it does not include either of those games, which is really depressing.
What about, this is really bad radio. What about EA Access? Could you get to those in EA Access, maybe?
They're not on EA Access. No. However, all three Mass Effects. Are available through EA Access, which I found very interesting. Here's the issue, right? Like, so I thought about, like, oh, man, Andromeda's coming out. I'm probably not going to get that day one because I'm trying to cut back a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, but I get these Mass Effect games. Like, I could just, you know, start a playthrough of that. And then I thought about it. It's like, okay, they're 350-hour role-playing games. Like, I mean, I don't think I have that much time to play games this year, let alone to dedicate to three non-family-friendly epic role-playing games.
Yeah.
You know, but they're on EA, they're in the vault, so I'm sure they're going to stay there forever. So, you never know. I mean, maybe I'll, like, get laid off or, like, break my leg or something and be like, you know what, let's just do this.
Well,
you never know.
Well, it's not hope for misfortune just so you can play Mass Effect.
Well, I'm not, but you know, I am a make lemons or make lemonade when I'm given lemons kind of thing. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that it would take. It would take me having like an inordinately long amount of time to justify playing it. And it's not that I respect the hell out of those games.
Yeah.
And we've been over this before. I respect the hell out of what they achieved. I regret missing out on them.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's a problem I can fix. With that said, I'm going to play after reading the coverage for Mass Effect Andromeda that was in the Game Informer magazine, I am all in.
Yeah.
Probably not going to get it day one because, you know, probably wait until the summertime, but sure.
Yeah, no, I'm Sounds super great. Excited about it too. So yeah, I think that's the news. We've been rambling over here, but that's okay. Sometimes it's more entertaining to just ramble. So let's move into what we're playing. Since I was thinking about buying Stardew Valley on consoles, I started playing it again on my PC. I actually started a new game because Anna wants to play it. I think we talked about this before. Anna wants to play it. So I started a new game so that she could just have my old game because everything's unlocked and she can just go and do whatever. When you're starting a new game, it's, you know, there's a lot of text to read. There's a lot of, you know, tutorial type stuff. So I just started a new game for myself to do that just so she could have the one that's completely unlocked. But it's funny because I named it Nikki parentheses no Anna so that my husband would know if he was sitting with her to play the game that was the save file that he was not supposed to get into. However, it's funny because whenever you're talking to people in the town, they use that name. So, like, it's like, hi, Nikki, no Anna. You know, it's funny. It's funny. So,
and she can read it, right?
She can read her name. Yes. I don't know if she could read Nikki. It just depends. Sometimes she can read stuff and she just says she doesn't know how, but for the most part she does.
But you're like, whatever, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, she can totally read her own name. She can write her own name, so you know, she's good with that. Or I should say the shortened version of her name. I don't believe she can read the whole thing or write the whole thing, but anyhow, that's a funny story though too. Here we go, more rambling. When we were in Jamaica for the wedding, she was in the pool. Some other kid was asking her what her name was, and she has this deal of saying her entire full name to people when she's asked what her name was. And she said it, and the kid was, like, not getting it or whatever, and so he asked her again, and she said it again, and then he was still not getting it, and he asked her again, and she's like, I'm not going to tell you because you're not listening. I was like, okay.
Well.
Anyhow. So Stardew Valley... What else have I been playing? Not a lot. That's the only thing I can think of right now at this moment. Oh, Hearthstone.
Did you actually play, what is it? The Railroad Tycoon games?
The Roller Coaster Tycoon games? No, I haven't.
The ones on the phone.
Yeah, no.
Or on the iPad.
I haven't downloaded them yet, so no, I haven't played that yet. So Hearthstone. Why am I thinking there's something else? There's got to be something else. Super Mario Run. Oh, I forgot. Diner Dash. Like, I was in need of some comfort gaming, and comfort gaming for me is Diner Dash, which is kind of hectic gaming for most people, but I just love it because I sort of get into a zone. But I was playing the original Diner Dash, not the crappy free-to-play thing that's available on the iPad now, but the original one. which I don't think you can get in the App Store at all anymore. I don't think, because I deleted the app because you can't reset your progress from within there. So okay. I deleted the app as a way to reset it, and I went back into the store and I didn't see it anywhere. But I was able to, you know, to re-download it from my purchased screen. So it's unfortunate that that one's not in the App Store anymore. But Diner Dash is awesome. I have loved this game forever. If you have never played it, you need to play it. It's worth taking a shot. So yeah, I've actually played it a lot. It was funny because I started playing it. My husband recognizes the music. And so he's like, why are you playing Diner Dash? I'm like, I just wanted to go back to something that I loved, you know. Why is that such a bad thing?
Anyhow. I don't think it's bad at all. Yeah. I completely am not even ashamed to admit this. For Christmas, my oldest son is getting a copy of Final Fantasy X/X-2 for the PS4.
Yeah.
And I fully intend to play that with him. So, no, there's something, you know, there's going to come a day where I'm going to be like, oh, I need to go to Spira.
Right.
you know?
Wait a second. Did I just hear you say PS4?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's happening. That's the thing.
Oh, yay.
well, I mean, it's going to depend on Santa Claus.
Okay.
But if Santa comes through, which I think he's gonna, because, Evan has in fact, you know, he's on the nice list.
Okay.
So if Santa comes through, then I think that it is more than possible that that will be a thing. And I am pretty excited about that because, that means that I get to essentially be like a grandfathered onto the nice list. Right?
Right.
So yes. And I fully, you know, it's pretty fun.
Cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So what have you been playing besides Mario and Overwatch?
You know what? Mario Run, Overwatch. Well, let me talk about Mario Run for a minute.
Okay.
If I may.
Yes.
So I agree 100% with your assessment of the game.
Okay.
That it is a Mario game. It strikes me as a Mario game. And I think that that's to its credit in some ways, but not in others. In some ways, it's cool because they managed to make a mobile experience feel like a Mario game. And that was going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
You know? We knew that that was going to be hard for them to pull that off. And they did it. So, I think that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that they managed to, you know, created something that made me feel like, you know, it kind of brought me back. So, the downside to that is that it feels like a Mario game and not like a wholly new experience, which is what I think a lot of people might have been wanting, you know?
Yeah.
And this is something that I hadn't really thought of when I started playing it. But the more I play it, is that the whole like play it and like go for perfection,
because
you know you gotta get the pink coins and the purple coins and the black coins. That's not really how I consume mobile games, because I don't really play mobile games to be good at them.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge. Makes it a little difficult, but I think that if this is any indication of what we can expect from Nintendo and the quality that we'll get from Nintendo, bring it on.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see it.
Been playing more Final Fantasy.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My God. Animal Crossing, let's be real. Animal Crossing, I think, is a better, like this was, they needed to put a product out.
Yeah.
Period, the end. They needed to put out a product. I think it was easy to do Mario's existing assets.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have to reinvent much. It's like, okay, he's just got to run. And they're good at level design.
Yeah.
But this is a... Animal Crossing is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just going to be ridiculous. And you know what? I'm a little excited to see what happens with the Fire Emblem. You know? Like, I really think... I think, you know, that's absolutely what I'm thinking. So, I've also been playing more Final Fantasy. I will say this. So I completed my review, obviously. It was late, but I'm glad that I waited, even though it made me look like an irresponsible journalist. And part of that was because I wanted to play it more. And I'm glad that I did, because I came across a couple of things. The biggest one is I came across some scenes that are very, very, like, there's a segment where it just literally is just a survival horror game. You're alone. They take away all your weapons. All you have is magic, which is obviously a limited resource. Very different. And I didn't like it. Because that's not what I play Final Fantasy for.
Right.
And it was, so it was disruptive. And I think that actually tempered some of my praise. Like, I still think it's a great game. But it really felt like a game that was in development for 10 years. And some guy just had a great idea. Like, hey, what if we put in a level like this? And they put it in. And I think that could have been edited out. Like, I don't think it really helped with anything. And there's a couple other segments like that. And for my own, you know, curiosity, like, there was really no bad language in that game until, like, one scene in the middle when they're, like, really cussing each other out. And I was really surprised by that. Not like it matters because I'm a grown man, whatever. But the line that I used is, this is not a children's game.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Like, it is not a children's game. That doesn't mean that it's wholly inappropriate. Some kids' language is not a big deal. Like, my kids here swears. They know what they are. So I'm not super worried about them. But, like, you know, so I'm not, but still, like, it's something to keep in mind. It wears its T rating on its sleeve, and it is proud. And so I think that that's something that I had questioned, right? I was like, well, you know, maybe this is not that bad. And then all of a sudden they were like, whoa. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But it's still really good. Cool. The payoff after some of those scenes were done were really good. My review is live on pixelkin.org. It's a very good. I like to think that it is a very good game. I still think it's worth everybody playing it that is wants a Final Fantasy game. And I think everyone should play the first hour or watch a YouTube video the first hour. And the reason for that is I think the first hour is a very interesting setup for a role-playing game. If you are used to Final Fantasy games, watch this one. It tips the whole normal pattern of how those games are done upside down, and I think it's very interesting. Also, there's the one image where you get the title credits for Final Fantasy 15. Just that one scene around there is probably my favorite opening of a video game of all time.
Okay. Wow. That's,
You'll know what I mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When I talk about, like, opening, like Borderlands when they're playing the song, that's the opening that I view. Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about, Borderlands?
Well, I haven't played Borderlands, but I have friends who are obsessed, so yes, I know what you're talking about.
So, you know, the opening beginning of every game where they, like, you know, they kind of set it up a little bit, and then they give you the opening title, you know, not the opening title, but the, you know, I guess I can't. I'm a bad writer today. I can't really describe it. In role-playing games, typically you play a little bit and then they splash the title on the screen. And that's like when the game starts. That moment around there is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Cool.
Thank you, Florence and the Machine.
Yes. All right. That's it then?
That is it.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to gamingwiththemoms@gmail.com. I remembered and I made the email address. You can also tweet. I can also tweet at Nicole Tanner or at Gaming with Moms, and we can get questions from there as well. Steven is editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming. Steven, why don't you do your whole spiel this time?
My whole spiel. All right, everybody. So, Engage Family Gaming is a website dedicated to providing parents the tools and information they need to get their family game on. We've been in operation for about 4 years, and we love to talk about video games and board games. This is not the only podcast that I'm on, so if you like hearing my voice and you want to torture yourself a little bit more, and you want to hear me, sometimes Nicole, but you actually want to meet my wife, who I talk about quite frequently, and also my brother, the Infinite co-host, head on over to iTunes, Google, etc., and find Engage, a family gaming podcast. We alternate video games and board games. Our next episode is all about our games of the year. Anybody want to take a guess what my game of the year was? You'll have to live in suspense and find out. With that said, my wife's game of the year is very interesting. And I think everybody would want to hear that. Most importantly, head on over to engagefamilygaming.com/community. Join in all the fun with me and Nicole and my brother and my wife and all sorts of other parents talking about what games you should play. All sorts of fun to be had in there. And yeah, that's it.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week.
Bye, everybody.